This song from time to time, and if you ever go to some of the youth events, it says, "Our God's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God." So maybe the next time we sing it, y'all need to do the hand sings. With wisdom, power, strength, and love. Our God is an awesome God. It's been a busy week. As they say, the season is upon us, that time of year. I really and truly don't see a big difference myself. seems like we're busy all the time. There's always something going on. It's always good to be about God's business. Our scripture this day comes from Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter. Verses 24 through 37 is probably one of those you're saying, what in the world are we doing this particular thing in the midst of this time of year? But in the lectionary that we're in right now, these are the scriptures. And I was looking at them and I was thinking about doing something else, but I always kept coming back to this. So maybe there's a reason. Mark's Gospel says, "But in those days after suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and great glory. Then He will send out the angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth and the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. And soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that He is near as the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things will take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away, says the Lord. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." And I think everybody needs to read that one over and over and over again, because we've got people in this world that want to tell us when the end of time is coming. "But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at the cockcrow of the morning or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the word of God this day for us, His children. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your word this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Son. We thank You, Lord, for Your servant Mark. And we ask, Lord, right now that You just allow these words and this time to be at hand and be upon us. For it's in Your name I pray. Amen. The end, or is it the beginning? You know, we love the end of the world. For some reason, we love telling stories about how it all ends. I hear that all the time in some of these silly preachers on TV. Part of them I don't call preachers, but that's another story. But just go to the movies in our day that we live in during the summer blockbuster season, and you can watch the world end in any number of ways. It will end by floods rising from the seas. It will end by asteroids coming from outer space. It will end by nuclear alienation. It will end by pandemics spreading disease all over. Sometimes you get zombies that infest the world, and you get alien invasions. There's all kinds of ways that the Hollywood wants to tell us how the world is going to come to an end. We have a sense that things cannot keep on going as the way they are. Something has to give. Will it be a bang or will it be a whimper? You see, we know that we are mortal and will not last forever. And we know that this world that we love will end as well. For people of Jesus' time, it was the day when God, weary of humanity's sin and stupidity, would invade the world and impose God's own rule on the planet. They called it the day of the Lord, the coming of the Son of Man. The dead will rise and be reconstituted and stand before God to be judged according to their deeds. While this may sound like some kind of weird stuff that you might have heard about years ago, and if I was one of those people that pounded the pulpit and hellfire and brimstone sermons, I could, you know, tell you all about that. I could give you more passion. But I don't like to shake you up too much. I like to let you think. The fact is that all humanity, religious or not, is conscious of sin and actually longs for judgment. Think about that. We are all conscious of sin and we actually long for judgment. We need somebody to be in control. We need somebody to tell us what to do. It's the same thing with children. I don't have any, so I can tell you how to raise them. Let me tell you right now. See? There you go. It's the same thing. Children want somebody to be their parent. They don't need another friend. They got all the friends in the world you can think of. They don't need another buddy or a pal. They need a mom or a dad. They need a parent. They need somebody that's going to hold them accountable for the things that they do. They need someone that when they promise them that they are going to knock them into next week, that maybe they might just do something to them. They might actually take something away from them. They might actually put some kind of discipline upon them and follow through with it. They long for someone to be there. They long for someone to love them. They long for them just like you and I do for our Lord. In Isaiah 64:1, Isaiah cries out, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence." You see, we want the bad guys to get their rights. We want the bad guys to get their due rewards and the righteous to be vindicated. We want all those things to happen. This is why we love the end of the world and those stories that we tell about how it happens. We like to hear those things from time to time. You see, we can see the signs around us, Jesus says, hopeful signs, in fact. He compares it to the building, not building, but the budding of the fig trees. And we see that all the time. The fig tree is something that is throughout the scriptures all the time. And it's probably a fig tree in the Garden of Eden that done to tempt and not an apple tree that people like to say. We don't really know what kind of tree it was, but it probably was a fig tree because they use figs all the time. But that budding of the fig tree, the budding of the leaves, one day you look closely and the first tiny yellow-green leaves unwrap themselves and spread towards the sky. Then you know that the seasons are changing. Soon there will be juicy fruit ripening in the sun. Well, see, I don't like figs, so that don't appeal to me none at all. But to those who do, it's a good thing. I think that's why they used apples. They thought it was something that would be tempting to someone. See, when he used the metaphor, Jesus' followers likely remember all the times that prophets described Israel as a fig tree that kept failing to produce fruit and the threat that God would soon cut it down. You see, if you're a fig tree, if you're an apple tree in Miss Billy Hamilton's yard, you'd get cut down if you don't produce fruit the first or second year. She told me she'd get tired of it and cut you down because she ain't going to put up with you no more. You've got to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. And Jesus says he threatened them many times, if it doesn't produce fruit, we're going to get rid of you. There's a threat there from God that God would cut you down. For Jesus to use this symbol of fruitfulness and growing life is a little bit unusual. Since he's describing the end of the world, we might expect him to use the metaphor of winter or to talk about the axe at the root of the tree cutting it down. But instead, Jesus views the coming of the Son of Man is a very, very good thing. You see, the kingdom of God grows wonderfully. It grows unexpectedly. It grows with something that we just can't hardly imagine, and we stand on the edge of a new age. One season is ending and another is beginning. The coming of the Son of Man isn't so much the end of our world as the promise of another one that is beginning. You can see the hopeful signs of it blossoming all around you, but you don't know when it's coming. Jesus tells us that. He says you do not know when it's coming. Despite all the scenarios about the end of the world that one group or another has predicted throughout time, the world seems to plow stubbornly along. Sure, there's no question that we can't keep on living the way that we're living. Building bigger bombs, fouling up the oceans and the air, baking our planet, dumping pharmaceuticals into our drinking water. You know, we live in an age where the end of the world seems tangible. Yet we don't know when the turning point will take place. Although we are certain there must be some kind of reckoning is going to happen pretty soon, because the Lord can't allow this to continue to happen. It is at a date that you and I can put down on our calendars. We like to put things down to say, okay, this is when it's going to happen. This is what it's going to look like. And when it comes, you know, that will be checked off. Well, you won't even have to worry about it, because if that's true, it's gone. No calendars needed. It isn't like we'll see the end coming and say, well, I'll only be able to mark 4 things off of my to-do list that day. How many of you have to-do lists? Think about it. I do too. Sometimes I put it down just to make sure that I can make it through my day, because my memory's getting pitiful. It's mostly to remind myself of what I said I was planning on doing and to look at my calendar and to see if by chance I'm supposed to be somewhere for somebody at a particular time. But yet when something happens, when I'm called, what happens to that calendar? It goes by the wayside 9 times out of 10. Because something else has preempted it. Something else is more important. And that's exactly what's going to happen sometimes. And that's exactly what happens to some of our to-do lists. We've got things on them that have been on them a while, and they get preempted. Sometimes we have to start over and put them back at the top. In fact, when the day of judgment comes, we will still have things on that list. There will be clothes in the washing machine and a full box sitting on your desk of things to do. I'm sure your computer inbox will be wide open. Just all kinds of messages. You see, whether the day of judgment is the end of your own life or the end of the world or the glorious return of Christ, you still have a life to live. People who get rid of everything that they have, sell it and go live somewhere in a commune, or to go live on the side of a mountain, or to go, kill yourself and think you're going to catch on to the hell bop comment or something another. All kinds of crazy things that this world is so full of, because people believe in, oh, the judgment is coming, last days are coming, so we got to get rid of everything, we got to move on. But here he says, just keep yourselves awake, because you're not going to know the time or the place. But you got to keep on working. You've got to keep on doing. Don't let the day of the Lord sneak up on you. Live as though the kingdom of God is coming right here and right now. Live each and every day as if you know the end is in sight. Not as a doom and gloom. Live, though, with speculation about when or how or who will be saved and who will be left behind to others. Do you think about who's going to be left? Do you know if it's going to be you? Have you got it straightened out to figure out that you're maybe be the one left behind? I hope and pray not. You got to get it right with you. You can't do it for nobody else. You can't do it for your husband or your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your friends. You got to do it for yourself. This is one of those things that you have to do on your own, between you and God. It's as if your boss left the employees in charge of the family business, says Jesus. And it does not matter if the boss returns in the evening, if he comes back at midnight, if he comes back early in the morning as the cock crows, or at dawn. It does not matter if it is 7 days or 7 millennium from now. When the boss returns, there will be only one question. Have you been faithful to the work that you've been given? Have you been faithful to the work that you've been given? That's the only thing the Lord asks of us. I've given you this much, He says. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Are you about my Father's business? Have you been faithful with what you're supposed to be doing? You're still looking at your to-do list, and there's stuff left on it. But is it the right stuff? What kind of stuff is on your to-do list? Think about that. As I began today, I said the scripture today was an odd one to kick off the first Sunday of Advent. When we talk about preparing for Christmas, we don't usually begin by talking about disaster movies. We don't usually begin by preparing for Christmas means for you and I to get ready for the coming of our King. The world is changing, and there is something new and exciting growing just beyond the edge of our perception. Just under the surface of things, there's something new happening all the time. We anticipate the end of our corrupted world and the beginning of a new one, exciting, peaceful, and just one. God's rule is growing around us little by little, step by step. You can see it grow in unlikely friendships between rich and poor, when people of different backgrounds from different neighborhoods sing together on the same pew. You can see it whenever the hungry receive food and the sick find healing. In the midst of winter, there are already buds on the trees where new life is preparing to spring forth. So as we prepare our hearts and our minds for Advent, as we prepare ourselves for the coming of our King, are we ending or are we beginning? Are we thinking about the end of things? Are we truly thinking about the beginning of things? Because you see, I don't think we can have one without the other. So many metaphors and so many things can be taken out of ending and beginning. We've got to end the things we're doing. We've got to let go of so much. We've got to let go of worldly things and begin new. We've got to let go of those things that haunt us, those sins that are attacking us, and pick up something new and serve our Lord. We've got to let go of one season to begin another. Our seasons flow one into the other. And that's how it is with this season that is upon us, the season of Advent. We've just come through a time of celebration and newness and the beginning of things falling away and life on the trees are looking bare out there, and all of a sudden we're talking about new buds. But think about it. In the dead of the wood that we see on the trees is what we think about, and the stuff that goes back into the ground, new life is at work within that tree. Even when that tree is dormant in the wintertime, it's preparing itself for what? To spring forth in spring. It's preparing itself for something new. What are you and I doing with our lives in the dead of winter? Are we preparing ourselves for something new and exciting? Or are we commonplace and happy with that of the old? Let us prepare ourselves to spring forth with new life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this day for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, this day that you've allowed us to look at this world around us, to look at the things which are before us, to look at the things which are behind us, and to know, Lord, that many, many times that we have scraped through by the skin of our teeth, that we have made it, and we don't even know how or why. But Lord, when we get to that side, we need to say, okay, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I am ready to make a difference. I am ready to make a change. I am ready for renewal. I am ready, Lord, for your Spirit to work in and through me. Oh, Lord, I am so ready for something good to take place. Oh, Lord, we know that so many have seen so much heartache and pain this year. They're in the midst of something that seems to always drag them down. Sometimes their families are in that balance between life and death, sometimes literally and sometimes figuratively. But they're hanging on the balance. And sometimes when we look at death always, we wonder where our life has gone. But allow us, Lord, to look at new life that comes from that which is no longer with us. To look at the newness, Lord, that can come our way by only trusting you. So this day, Lord, let us prepare our hearts and our minds to receive you once again. Open up our hearts, Lord, to look at you. For it's in our name, your name that we do pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 706.